All right, so we'll say, so let's begin. So the Mechaber over here says, Atziga kan kama misefer Torah ha-magid, sheyu lashamas havanas ha-dvarim. So let me add in over here a couple of morsels, gagama, like seeds or samplings from the Sefer Torah ha-magid that will help us round out this section. So Aleph, yiro lehisbodi b'chol yom b'machshavto im abari yisbar. So we'll say, these are points from the Magid of Mezrich, to kind of help us internalize and to help us along this path of creating this sense of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Aleph, number one, Yira lehisbodid b'chol yom ha-machshav t'abar yisbarach. A person should have time for hisbodidus, right? Just, again, time alone with his thoughts, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yimshoch elav yiraso machmas gidulaso. And ultimately, I should cultivate a reverence of God by contemplating the greatness of God. Reverence through greatness, or greatness through reverence. Or no, reverence through greatness. V'yisnahi kach at shehi rogil ba gam kim shemedaber im ha'anoshim shlo yishkach ha'sabar yitzbach. Bosa, you know, we've spoken about this many times. The ultimate goal of Kirvas Hashem is that my God awareness should be a constant part of my life at all times. The ultimate goal is that even when I'm engaged in relatively mundane activities, like talking to another person, I should still be thinking of the Ribono Shel Olam. Now, the way that the Magid explains that happens is if a person takes time every single day to just be alone with their thoughts and alone with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I essentially condition myself to just set aside time to think about God, so that's ultimately how the Ribono Shel Olam becomes a part of my life, of everything I do.
This is aside from Shlomo Asri.
Correct. This is meditation. This is meditation or whatever. I don't know if that's the right word. But it's being alone with your thoughts. Taking a few minutes. We've spoken about this many times. It doesn't have to be hours on end. It could be a few minutes a day. But the idea is I'm taking time every single day to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just think about God. Base. V'yach shov tamid. V'yedabek atzah bari yisparach. V'ahava gimura. And a person should think constantly, and should the yidvak atzal baris baruch b'av gemura, should attach himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with complete love. With complete love, she'u ohev yisparach yoser mikol davar shalom. So listen, this is a very interesting idea, that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything in the world. I will say now, I don't know if you saw, I remember a while ago, I don't remember who the author was, in Mishpacha magazine, there was a back and forth, is that all right? I'm sorry. Good. Baruch Hashem. I'm seeing. So that's about as Haredi publications as I'm going to go to. So that's, I'm going to draw the line. Baruch Hashem. So they had this article, I think it was by this Rabbi Eisenstark, Shimon Eisenstark. I don't know. The point of his article is that he was talking about the idea that, you know, our children have to know that we love them. But he quoted a story from some gadol. He quoted the story of a gadol. I don't remember who the gadol was. And what happened? His kids were misbehaving during the Pesach Seder. He said to his children, I love you very much, but I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. And so you need to settle down and you need to behave during the Seder. So it was a statement, it was a story that I remember, like, in the coming weeks, generated like an incredible amount of back and forth. Like, is that proper parenting? Is that proper parenting that I say to my child, I love you, but I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. I just want you to say that. Now, we know that it's MS. We know that it's MS because why is it that the Torah shares with us the story of the Akedah? Right? What's the takeaway message of the Akedah? That if God appears to you and tells you to slaughter your son, you should do so? Shkoyach. That's not the message of the Akedah, because the truth is, none of us are getting messages like that. The message of the story of the Akedah is, my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to eclipse any other love. That's the goal. B'mitzios, it sounds strange to say those words, right? Because especially, any parent will tell you that you would give anything for your child, and you would give anything to protect your child. So it's a scary thought to think about what would happen if my love for God and my love for my child clash. What would happen? Now again, it does in certain moments, meaning again, the truth is we don't think about it, but if a person is blessed with a son, I have to give my son a bris milah, I'm causing my son pain, but yet again, my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu eclipses, you know, my love for my son, that small respect. But in a general sense, it's true if you think about it, True Avas Hashem means that my love for the Ribbono Shel Olam eclipses every other love. There is no love that is as great. I love my wife, not as much as the Kaddish Baruch Hu. I love my children, not as much as the love of Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam, the love that I feel for Kaddish Baruch Hu, has to be first and foremost. Now again, intellectually, I think no one's going to disagree with that. On the practical level, meaning to actually articulate those words, feels like a little bit strange. But nevertheless, the Maggid says over here that a person has to cultivate their love. Now, again, do I believe that? I don't particularly agree with that story that he brought down from the Gadol. I don't believe that it's necessarily a good idea to articulate that to kids. I love you, but I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. A, because I don't know that children could absorb that message. I don't know they understand what to do with that message. I think children who grow up in a certain home get that message through the parents' behaviors. When children see a father who sacrifices many things in his life, sacrifices much of his time for Avodas Hashem, so children begin to see that my father's love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more than any other love in this world. When he sees that the father doesn't stay at home at night, you know, he's going out to learn, he's going out to do ches, he's going out to do whatever it is, it's okay to stay at home and then also. That's not what I'm saying. But meaning again, but I'm saying that the kid sees that his father's not always home. Like he's sacrificing. He's sacrificing family time. He's sacrificing sleep. He's sacrificing comfort for Avodas Hashem. So my child sees that obviously my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu eclipses everything else. But that's the goal. The goal is that love that I feel for the Ribbono Shel Olam should be the greatest love. Yosemi called Davar Shebaolam, more than any other love in this world. V'tamidiyah machshavto devuka ba'olam ha'elyon bo yisbarach. And ultimately again, my machshava, my thoughts, should always be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh perish ha'pasik beremez min ha'mikdash lo yetzei. This is so beautiful. So remember again, the pasuk says, what's the pasuk min ha'mikdash lo yetzei? This is by the Kohen Gadol. Right, the halacha is a Kohen Gadol's makriv onan. Right, that even chas v'shalom should a Kohen Gadol lose a loved one for whom he is obligated to mourn, he doesn't go to the levaya, he doesn't sit shiva, but rather again, he's makriv. He continues his avoda. We saw this by Aaron. Aaron loses his beloved son Nadav and Abihu. Again, min ha'mikdash lo yetzei. No, you don't leave. You don't leave. So it's amazing. So the Maggid says, "Min hamikdash lo yetzei," is not just the din of the Kohen Gadol. It's a din for the Jew. The Jew never leaves the mikdash. What does that mean? The Jew never leaves the mikdash. Meaning, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is first and foremost. That is hands down the most important thing in my life. Everything else, every other relationship, every other love is secondary. The operative phrase for the yid is "Min hamikdash lo yetzei."
I say it's also bad. You have the balance the Rav always talks about, where when by the Bris Milah, right, where Hashem comes to visit Avraham, you think, you know, not many people in this world, right, you'd leave for. If you're in a meeting with President Obama and your phone rings, you're not leaving, but yet he
Trump,
leaves. And
Hashem, Trump, by the way, Trump, he's the president. Yeah. He might as well. You should just accept it. Just accept it. Yeah.
But we see that, right, that Hashem wanted him to go because we're still on this earth, and Hashem wants us to nurture the relationships that we have here.
100%.
It's like a balance.
It is. There's no, of course, meaning, I want to be clear. It's not saying my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is most important and therefore neglect the other ones. But you know what? At the end of the day, we do create relationship hierarchies. My relationship with my spouse is more important than my relationship with my friends. I value my relationship with my friends. That's a statement. That's not a question. My relationship with my friends is very important, but I also know it's not as important as my relationship with my spouse. You know, I like to be a Baal Chesed, but the most important Chesed I could do is for my own family. So there's always, but that doesn't mean it's not important. It just means there has to be a hierarchy. So a person has to be able to answer this simple question, which is exceptionally profound, which is, what is my most important life relationship? What is that? And that's very, you know, some people will answer my office.
Wasn't like Hashem though with your family? Like meaning
it's yes, you, but it, inevitably kids. There will be conflicts. Life always presents us with relationship conflicts. So if I don't establish the hierarchy, then I don't know what to do in times of conflict. So what happens if my relationship with my family conflicts with my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What wins? Meaning what at the end of the day is the, and again, as much as you like to say, you'll navigate it, you'll reach compromise, or this or that, That's nice, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have, you know, we're all road to face shalom. We all want shalom, but sometimes you have to choose a side. Again, so you see this happen all the time. Well, let's say a person is religiously different than their family. Poses incredible challenges for him. Let's say he's observant. The rest of my family is not observant. So the job of a Jew who is observant but his family is not observant is not to cut yourself off. Chas v'shalom. Person has to become the ambassador of the Ribono Shel Olam to the rest of their family. So that's wonderful. But there are times when there's a conflict. There's a time when my cousin is making a chasana on Shabbos and he wants me to be at that chasana. And what am I supposed to do? Family's going to be up in arms about it. This one's going to be upset. That one's going to be upset. What do I do? And that's why I do have to have that hierarchy. Because as much as it's all important, what's most important? Again, it's easy to read the words and it's easy to say it. Now, this is one of the greatest challenges in life because when all things are equal, of course, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu most. When there's a conflict, it's difficult often to figure out that hierarchy. But he says, that's the pshat umina mikdash lo yetze. Ukishetzar, by the way, I'll just tell you, just as an aside, I'll come back to it afterwards. He says, ukishetzarach l'davrim in yonay olam hazeh, when a person has to speak about mundane matters, yihye b'mach shafto, shuholich mi olam ha'olyon l'mata, kimo adam sholich mi beso l'chutz, v'dayto lach zertegev. So this is amazing. When a person has to engage in mundane things, so a person should have in mind that like he's leaving the celestial sphere to come into the earthly sphere with the intention to go back. Just like again, if I'm walking my guest, right, the mitzvah of hachnasas arachim, to be malava, to escort your guest out. Also, I'm walking my guest out, but my intention is, I'm not going anywhere, I'm just going out, because I have to do this right now, but I'm coming back in. So, be'is halicha, choshev masa yachshol ha-beso, when I leave my home, when I'm thinking about this, when am I going back home? Kach yachshov tamid ba'olam ha'elyon, shesham beso ikari. You know, this is amazing. I quoted this morning. In the Tu B'Shvat Shir. You know, it all comes back to Tu B'Shvat. I'm sugar with Tu B'Shvat. So, the Maharal says, he quotes the Pasuk of Ha'adam Eitz HaSadeh. Man is the tree of the field. See, he says something, he says, a man is an Ilan Hafuch. He's an upside down tree. What does that mean? That a tree, right, stands on the earth, and its roots go deeper into the earth. A man stands on the earth, but his roots extend upwards. My roots are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My roots are not down here. My roots are up there. He's an Ilan Hafuch, an inverted tree. Incredible, incredible image and metaphor. See, that's his point over here as well. That, who am I? So if I identify that my primary relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the most important thing in my life, then in reality what I'm really doing is, I'm identifying myself as a primarily ruchni, spiritual being. You know, we've spoken about this before. You know, a while ago we learned the sefer Das Atzmecha, which is by the same Mechaber. Know yourself. Incredible, incredible sefer. Das Atzmecha. Really incredible sefer. See, he writes over there that the most fundamental question a person has to ask themselves is the following. Am I a body that houses a soul, or am I a soul encased by a body? And that is not an academic question, and that's not just, you know, wordplay. That's mamish the essence of how I self-identify. What am I in my essence? In my essence, I'm a goof, I'm a body that happens to have a spiritual dimension. Or no, I'm a neshama. That's what I am primarily. But my neshama can't interact with the physical world without the casing of a goof. But my essence is a neshama. So I'll say, so the answer to that question is often becomes clear in my relationship hierarchy. If my primary relationship in life is my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what am I saying? At the end of the day, I'm primarily a neshama that happens to be encased in a guf. But I'm primarily in a shama. Vaharai, what's the proof to that? My primary relationship with the Kodesh Baruch. Now, sometimes I have to pay attention to the guf. And sometimes the guf has to take care of things. And sometimes, again, there are very mundane matters that need to be attended to. That's fine. The neshama could come down a little bit, take care of whatever it is that the guf needs. But then what the goal is, the neshama goes back up. That's the goal. And the neshama never remains here. I never remain shakua or embedded in the mundanity of this world. I come down, I do what I need to do, but then I lift myself back up. He goes on, he says, Va'od yadua, dechal ha'aretz hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even in reality, the entire land is the Ribono Shel Olam as well. Shebishafo yisparach siv, v'achayos ratzo v'shov, so the goal is, if I identify primarily as a neshama, that happens to be encased, enclosed by a guf, and my most important relationship in this world ultimately is with the Ribono Shel Olam, so then by definition, I'll come down into the world, I mean, I'll come down into mundanity, because we all have to do what I have to do, but I don't plan on residing here. This, I don't live in mundanity. I visit the world of mundanity. I have day trips into the world of mundanity. I know what I need to do in the world of mundanity, but that's not where I sojourn. That's not my mailing address. That's not where I live. I live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where I live. But I do what I have to do in Olam Hazeh. But even when I come down here in this Olam Hazeh, in this mundanity, I have in my mind, it's only a question of time until I get back out. Same way that I go to work, even if I know that I have a long day, what am I looking forward to? I'm hopefully coming home. I'm going to come home. I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to be in a wonderful environment. I have to do what I have to do outside of the home, but I look forward at the end of the day to being able to come back home. It's the same Yisod in Ruchnius as well. He says, V'zu madrega gedola ad ma'od. This is a very high level. V'tzarech zuchus ha-machshava v'ha-neshama t'chila k'dei she'yeh tamid davak ba'olam ha'olyon ba'yisbarach. So we'll say, this is an incredible Yisod. This is what we're going to focus on. I want to focus on this for the next couple of minutes, for the rest of this evening. This Yisod, that ultimately, again, Dveikos Bashem, we've spoken about this concept in such great detail, the notion of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now what the Maggid is doing is he's defining the concept of Dveikos. What does Dveikos mean, or how does Dveikos manifest itself? He says it manifests itself by my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the most important relationship in my life. If I could actually say that, and A, believe it, and B, mean it, that's the Vegas. My most important relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then I'm davuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what that means then is, again, the corollary of that is, I am primarily a neshama that happens to be encased in a guf. But I'm not primarily a guf that happens to have a neshama. That whole idea, that primacy of the relationship with God, what he calls min hamikdash lo yetze, you can't leave from the mikdash. That's the essence of the Vegas. So I'll tell you something interesting. A couple of weeks ago, I did this in a different shiur. Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful insight on this also. I mentioned this in Parashas Vayira. So he says something amazing, which I think bears repetition. I'll read this to you. He quotes over here in Parashas Vayira, by the bris. You're quoting the bris before. By the bris. Remember again, what does the pasuk say? Avraham Avinu is sitting, right? It's third day after the milah. Vuhu yoshev pesach ha'ohel. And he is sitting at the entranceway of the tent. Okay, so the way we normally interpret that is based on Rashi. Why is he sitting at the entranceway of the tent? Because he wants to see if there are any archim, are there any guests coming around? Rabbi Avinu is all about hachmasas archim. So the Rebbe has something dramatically different. And the Rebbe said, listen to this. V'hu yoshev pesach ol kichom ayom, yoshev lashon hamtana va'akala zman rav. You know, the lashon of yoshev doesn't just mean sitting, it means dwelling. Dwelling. Sitting and dwelling in a place for a prolonged period of time. Hainu. Listen to this. She'ein ha'adam zocha lehisgalos elokos b'chinas re'el av Hashem. How does a person merit an Avraham Avinu level? How does a person ultimately merit vayira elav Hashem? That the Ribono Shel Olam comes to you, visits you, talks with you, spends time with you. How does a person merit that? So watch this. He says, Imlo al yidei sheyoshev umamtin umisakev eitzel pesach ohel hakedusha zman rav. If you want, and this is a shiv zirach, this for all of you, thank you. If you want vayera elav Hashem, if you want to have a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what that requires? V'hu yoshev pesach ha'ohel. Are you willing to always sit by the tent? The tent, of course, as we're going to see, represents the tent of spirituality. If you're willing to pitch your tent in the tent of spirituality, if you're in it for the long haul, if the relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most important thing, then you'll have Vayera Elav Hashem. So watch this, he says, V'afapi, shebesoch kach over alav masha over. Now remember, sometimes when you're sitting at the tent, things get quite uncomfortable. For example, V'chamimus hayom, shein klal hataivis boer osaharbe, afapi kein eno maniach es mekomo chas v'shalom. Raku Yoshev umamtin umisakiv eitzal pesach yomim uzmanim rabim bechinas u Yoshev pesach. So listen, what does the pasuk say? Sarmavinu is sitting pesach ha'oel kichom hayom. What does kechom ayom means? The heat of the day. The Rebbe says, you know what the heat of the day refers to? Refers to the passions and the desires and the pushes and pulls of this world. You know, sometimes you're sitting at the entranceway of the tent, and you know what? The heat's turned up. The desires for what we want out of this world. The desires, and by the way, it's not even desires just for illicit things. That also pulls us in negative directions. But it's even just general desires for materialism, general desires for covet, general desires to feed our ego, all different things. There's a lot of chamimus, there's a lot of heat that often pulls us away from the Pesach Ohel. The job of the Jew is to say, I am staying at the entranceway of the tent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no matter what. No matter how hot it gets, no matter how difficult it gets, I'm not leaving the tent. Umina mikdash lo yetze. I am here. And if you pitch your tent back on the Shbaruch Hu, and you don't leave the tent, and no matter what the desires, the pushes or pulls are, you remain steadfast. You say, Ribono Shel Olam, the most important thing in my life is my relationship with you. Nothing is more important. And mina mikdash lo yetze, fu yeshev pesach ha'oel, you stay at the tent, then, Vayira Elam Hashem. That's how you get Vayira. See, the difficulty is, we want the relationship with the divine, but we don't want to stay by the entranceway of the tent. I'm happy to visit the tent, right? I'm happy to come, Yomim Noraim, I'm there, Elul, I'm there, Tu Bishvat Shabashira, I'm there, right? I'm there at different times. You want me to sit there all the time? No, I don't think I can do, because there's a lot of chamimos. It's kechom ayom. There's a lot of things pulling me in a lot of different directions. That's a choice we make. But just understand, if I choose not to sit by the entranceway of the tent, if I choose to leave the mikdash, there is no vayira elav Hashem. That relationship, that dveikus, only comes when I put that relationship with Baruch Hu first. Only if I pledge myself, God, I am with you. I'm with you no matter what happens. I'm going to resist the temptations. I'm going to stay strong. Will I always be successful? Of course not. We all fail at different times. But as soon as I fail and I wander away from the tent, you better believe it. I'm going to find my way right back there. I'm going to sit right back down, and I'm not going to move until the next time I do. But again, that's what I'm not going to move. So I say, that's the goal in life. That's the vacus. Tevekis means when you don't leave the mikdash. Tevekis means when you sit by the entrance of the tent. Tevekis means that if you ask me what the most important relationship of mine in life is, I'm able to say it's my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other ones are important also, but it's that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is first and foremost. If we have that, then we have Tevekis. If we have that, then we sit by the entrance of the tent. If we have that, then we don't leave the mikdash. Stop over here. But again, you see, like I said, it's easy to read. And it's easy to learn. And it sounds simple, because the truth is, in reality, the concept is simple. Like most things in life, it's the implementation that's a bit more difficult. But you know, the first step in implementation is understanding what it is that you have to accomplish. So at least now we know. We have a working definition of Dveikus. We know what our mantra is. Halavai, we should be zoha to implement. I'm sorry?
There's a
Pesach Ohel in Florida.